What it do? What it do? And we back for the next segment. It's your girl, Sky, with Sills, and we about to talk about the National Women's Soccer League, the NWSL's Chaos Cup as it continues. My bad, sorry. The Challenge Cup as it continues into week two. And we're going to get into the midweek and weekend action. And it's a lot of foolishness going on. So let's get it. So let's start off with the Washington Spirit playing the Rossin Louisville FC.
Oh, you're fancy? Rossin? Okay.
Yeah, because it's with the, it's not the Rossin. It's Rossin.
Rossin. Okay.
So let's get into it. So we got the collision of things. So
yeah.
I mean, so what's good? Let the people know what happened a little bit.
So this game was pretty even. Right. There was only one goal and it came fairly late. Louisville plays very sound defense, so I will absolutely give them that. They clearly have some kind of tactical plan.
A little smidge.
Yeah, and they had a few chances. They do have Yuki.
Yep.
And Yuki is very good. I'm not so sure if I were Chicago, I would have packaged her.
She never should have been freaking traded, but we'll get into that later.
Right. But I get it. But yeah, she's a very good player. And so they do have that. And Washington is still trying out a new formation, and they've got three new strikers that sort of have to figure out how to work together. Having said that, man, when they figure it out, that interplay, overlapping play of those three forwards who can kind of play in any position, is going to be very dangerous. And actually, Washington would probably be, based on what I've seen in the first two games, sort of my sneaky pick for the playoffs, whenever the regular season starts, because we still haven't gotten that information yet. But yeah, I thought it was an entertaining game. There was some sloppiness, but I thought both teams had a structure and sort of were able to play through some of their early issues. I thought Paige Huster, it's not Huster, right? It's Huster, had a really good game. And we'll talk about her in just a minute on that goal. That was a really good team goal. And of course, Trinity Rodman, member of the delegation, started the game and absolutely had an impact on it.
Yep.
And again, we're trying to, I guess, tamper expectations. She's only 18 years old, right? These are her first professional games. And if you haven't been able to see her in person, you know, be it practice or, you know, in California or for the U20s, she's probably better than advertised. She's still young. Obviously, there are things to her game that she can improve. But as I've said, I've seen enough soccer in my lifetime to know it when I see it. And it's there. She's different.
Yeah, because she smoothly moves as a non. She smoothly moves on the left wing. She smoothly moves on the right wing. She puts in services beautiful balls. She cuts back correctly. She actually did the CP23 cutback.
Yes.
She was Shea Butter FC styling, baby. She did the cutback correctly this week and actually had a very accurate shot on goal. And then she had like three near Shea Butter bombs from long range. And that's
phenomenal. She's willing to shoot it, right?
Yeah. And that last minute dime was peak Kristen Press, last minute game on the line. I'm doing something crazy. She shot a beautiful Shea Butter ball dime to Ashley Sanchez. And so,
It's there. I think particularly that relationship with Ashley Sanchez, right? Who's also a very high draft pick at a forward position, coming out of the Pac-12 as well. Again, I think between Sanchez and Hatch and Rodman, once they figure that out, it's going to be amazing. And just shout out again to Huster, who made that pivot midfield instead of passing it back to get up the field and pass that ball to Trinity Rodman for what I would call the hockey assist after several passes, right? It was just beautiful team play to get the goal. And like you said, Trinity Rodman's able to have enough space and strength to keep the ball, run up that right side, get to the touchline, drop it in for Ashley Sanchez to get it in the back of the net, and Washington wins 1-0.
Oh yeah, before we exit out of that, Tegan McGrady had a beautiful set piece ball.
Yeah,
shout out to the delegation. We see it, girl. And yes, for the back line, the only thing that's going to hold back Washington Spirit is that back line situation, because they was getting ran through a little bit. And so I guess they didn't have Kelly O'Hare and Emily Sonnet. So
Right. And we'll see what that looks like for club, right? Like, we have our thoughts in terms of them playing for country, but
wait, and Andy Sullivan. I forgot. Andy Sullivan.
Yes, they missed Andy Sullivan.
Yes. Yeah. That's important. Because
she can do everything in that midfield, right? So that's also a piece of your defense, but she can also help spring the attack. I think if you're going to put her in a midfield with maybe a Tegan McGrady and a Huster, that they have a lot of potential. They seem to have a good coach. They seem to have a game plan. When you have a young or a couple of young talents like that, but in particular, Trinity Rodman, who is by all accounts incredibly coachable. Her coach has spoken very highly of her and her ability to very quickly process information and improve the areas in which she needs to work on. I still maintain she'll be called up into a camp this year. We'll see if it's June, but I think you got to take a look at it, particularly if she continues. Yeah, if she continues to play.
J-U-N-E.
Yeah, June. I think if she continues to play the way she is, you've got to see what that looks like with some of the frontline talent we already have on the national team. But I just want her to have a good professional career. It's okay to play people at 18. Like, it's fine. And she's learning, and she's generationally good. And so I hope we do right by her in terms of just making sure her career goes about in a healthy way that allows her to be the best player she can be for a very long time, because it's always going to be a joy to watch her. So shout out to the Cougs, you know what I mean? So we wanted to talk about that game, but it was a good match. So we enjoyed that game. Next, we want to hop to the game that was going on at the same time, that Red Stars Thorns game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And let's see. Chicago missed Yuki extremely.
Yes.
Very much. The defense was a brick wall. Shout out to KC Kruger, Sarah Gordon. They was doing that thing. It was defending most of the game. Mm-hmm. Kayla Watt was Lord Jesus. Kalia Watt was balling, trying to ball, attempting to ball, but nobody else was ready to ball with her. Chicago couldn't finish nothing. Like,
that seems to be the story of Chicago right now.
Mrs. Watt was in the box, but nobody was there with her or couldn't finish what she was dropping into the box.
Right. Cause they have a sound midfield, right? Like, they were getting up the field, getting passes in. They have a solid midfield. They have former World Cup and Olympic winner. So it's not a weak spot for them.
Adriana French had the ball. Like, she was balling because they were putting that much pressure, but they couldn't finish to save their lives.
Right. And that just seems to be, in general, a Chicago issue, whether you look at the Challenge Cup last year or, you know, even when they had, and I get really annoyed when they always mention Sam Kerr, but I mean, she had an impact, right? But even in the playoffs when they had Sam Kerr, they struggled to score, and it ultimately cost them against North Carolina. So, I think the reliance on a singular sort of striker, or, you know, asking someone to finish. And this is with the idea that Mallory Pugh is obviously still coming back. So she's not off the bench, but Mallory Pugh is also not a pure striker. Right. So she can certainly help get the ball in the net and playmate. But yeah, I think Chicago more than anything could use one or two surefire finishers.
Whoop. Like, a duo that might, let me quit.
We'll do that later. We'll do
that. A duo that might be at Manchester United currently.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
We'll
talk about that at a later day, probably like next week. But
maybe we'll see what the world is.
Yo, Chicago has the defense to actually beat the stackness that is the Portland Thorns. Portland won this game, by the way, off of a non-suspended Morgan Weaver score. Actually, Casey Kruger almost tried to cut off.
It was a bad defensive angle. She doesn't usually make too many of those, but and to be fair, right, again, talking about the incident, we don't blame Morgan Weaver, right? Like, that's very much a league issue. You can argue about whether she should have been playing or not, but two, that speed is very good. It's not deceptive. I know, I'm gonna keep it real, right? People use deceptive speed when white girls are fast, so But she's fast. Like, she is fast. Legitimately fast, and she's decent on the ball. And I've seen that in person. And so, yeah, it'll humble you. But it was also just not the greatest of angles, which, again,
I actually think, so this was like the third time that happened where Casey was able to cut off the other two. But it's the third time that happened because, like, Chicago could not get in the box. Like, nobody was going with Watt into the box. So at some point, you know, Portland got in their head to just send these balls over top. Just keep sending the balls back over top. And at some point, Morgan, somebody is going to get on the end of the ball and go in. And so, yeah, Casey couldn't get to the angle. And so Morgan scored. And, yep, that's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote. So it was 1-0. And it's the only goal Chicago has conceded. In fact, I think it's one of the few shots on target they've conceded. So, again, the defense is there. The midfield play is there. Hopefully they're able to figure out their scoring issues and improve in that area, because I think Chicago's a fun team to watch. So the next games we're going to talk about are the two teams that were making their debuts during the Challenge Cup. So the first game is Orlando Pride versus New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. That's the full name of the club. We're just going to call them Gotham FC.
Yes. And in this game, we again have another Mark Skinner tactical disaster class. And the Gotham FC, the Shea Butter delegation FC situation that's up there, because it's a lot of Black folks up in that.
Group. Yeah.
In this game, Sydney LaRue, a delegate member, was really trying to get, she was getting wild and free. Like, in that game, Orlando had the chances, but the tactical situation that left Sydney up top, Marta too far in the midfield, back in the midfield, it just messed up the timing that Sydney LaRue was invading the box, but she needed one more person because there was already two people with her because they watched the film. So it's always two people in the box with her. So she didn't have the angle to take the shot, or she tried to take shots. And like, she was getting cut off that if she had the one other extra person, you know, you're playing a 2-4-4 at minimal, then you probably get balls in the box. You had the miraculous save by Ashlyn Harris after one of the delegates in Plummer accidentally made a defensive mistake.
Yeah.
That caused a penalty kick that Gotham didn't do well on. Ashlyn saved it.
Yeah, it wasn't a great take.
Yeah, but I mean, the formation in itself, even though Orlando had all these chances, this four, whatever, you put it together in the midfield, four back line situation, this 4-2-4, 1-3-2, 1-2-1, whatever is going on in the midfield, you got all this talent, you're wasting it, man.
Yeah, and I mean, that seems to be the theme with Orlando, right? Year after year. You know, when they first came into the league, sort of trading all of those picks to get superstars and load up their team. And every year, I think we have really high expectations of them, and it just hasn't seemed to change. I think they've made the playoffs once, maybe.
Yep.
It's just, it feels like no matter what we do, it's the same old story with Orlando. So I'm always hopeful that they're going to fix those issues. And again, full discretion, the national team was playing, so players were missing I don't know if that matters.
Alex Morgan don't help this. It's even worse because Mitch Purse would have been available to burn them down. The goalkeeper, Didi Herrick,
I believe so, yeah.
Had a balling game. So because she really, the Sydney LaRue easily could have had a hat trick. She had she defended her life to prevent Sydney LaRue in the goal. And in all honesty, if Mark Skinner makes the tactical adjustment to put Marta up there with her, or even Cornick, they score because they was getting loose behind that back line that didn't have Estelle Johnson. There was a Shea Butter FC dime from Iffy to Monahan for the goal that ultimately led Gotham to win because folks got smoked, unfortunately, on that back line. As a result of the disaster class in the midfield. Abby Kim probably should have started. I see she broke her arm though, so that might be part of it.
Yeah, that's unfortunate to see her Shea Butter bomb.
Right.
Last game to get Orlando a point, though it probably should have been three. Again, I think that's always sort of the conversation. And I think I have expectations that Gotham will be a decent side that can compete. They have players coming back, like you said. So yeah, we'll see what the rest of the Challenge Cup looks like.
And lastly, just to wrap it up,
yeah.
OL Reign played Houston Dash. Yes. And
it was wrestling. It was WrestleMania the first half.
Yeah, it was a WrestleMania situation.
Yeah.
Allie Long didn't start the game for OL Reign. You were missing Jess Fishlock, the superhero herself, and one Megan Rapinoe on OL Reign's side. Houston Dash was still without Christy Mewis and Rachel Daly. Yes. And so it was a grunge match and then a very much a preseason game. Like,
yeah, what is a finish? It looked like a preseason game, which makes sense for OL Reign because it was their first game. Not as much sense for Houston. But again, I think particularly with the absence of Christy Mewis, I think playmaking and goal scoring is a lot harder to come by without her on the pitch. So it'll be interesting to see what Houston looks like with her there. And Michelle Prince as well. Don't want to forget the homie. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think both of those teams have some potential.
Yeah. Wait. So we did, because Allie Long's injury, we got to see Angelina.
Yeah, she's interesting, right? Like, I think she showed some signs of being a really great player. She's clearly young in this iteration of her professional career, but obviously she Brazilian or Argentinian?
I'm not sure, but she was balling.
She has a different skill set.
Was balling. She was shooting from long range. She had the audacity to do it in the midst of people not being able to string anything together.
Creativity on the ball for sure.
Yeah, because Z, it was weird. Z didn't come in. Cesara. Ciara King.
Yeah.
I bet she didn't come in until that second half. And it was very much a preseason game.
It was. I think that Reign back line is pretty decent, actually.
Yeah.
Shout out to Madison Hammond. I thought she had a really good game, actually. Yep. Did a lot of clearing. A lot of clearing bricks in that back line and getting passes out and out of danger. I think both of those teams have some potential. I think, obviously, the two favorites are still Portland and North Carolina. But there's a few teams that I think could be sneaky good and challenge those clubs. I don't think it's a guarantee that they'll win, even if they're favorites and they're stacked. We'll hopefully get better games from both of these teams, like you said, once they're sort of fully loaded and see what they look like. But I'm sorry, that ended as a 0-0 game, by the way.
So this week basically is the last week of these teams missing their international talent. So next week is probably going to be the first week we see truly what these teams look like blended with the preseason, all mixed in. So next week is probably going to be full on chaos with all these people back. Grudges to be handled on field, hands to be thrown, goals to be gotten. And so, that wraps the Challenge Cup for this week. So I guess it's about that time for a few of our segments, like that Shea Butter crossover, where we're going to compare some our great members of the delegation and their counterparts to the basketball players of the WNBA and NBA. And then we're going to introduce our version of a top 10 list, because whatever ESPN put out, that ain't it.
Or the other people.
We're going to break it down. We got a whole series, but we'll get into it after the break.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Elliot, the co-host of Can I Kick It at River City 93. As always, if you're looking for the most up-to-date shows on Black history, what's going on in the game, in and off the pitch, then come check us out at Can I Kick It. You can find us on Instagram or Twitter at River City 93. And as always, guys, like, share, and subscribe to our podcast, and we'll catch you guys on the good side.
This is Gregor from the Florida Culture Soccer Podcast. Soccer podcast for us, by us. Join us this week with special guest Jeremy Sally. We talk about the NWSL Challenge Cup, the CONCACAF Champions League, and we pay a tribute to the life and legacy of DMX. Join us this week on your favorite podcast app from the FTC UTD YouTube channel.
All right, good people, we're back. And it's time to know what up, what up. It's time to dig more into our Shea Butter crossover segment, where we give you more comparisons of women's soccer players and their WNBA and NBA counterparts.
Yep.
And then we're going to launch our top 10 list series, where we list by position. So that'll be defenders, midfielders, forwards, goalkeepers, and hybrid players. The players that we think are in the top 10 in the world at each of those positions. It's going to clearly be up for debate. We're going to name them today, and then we'll hit y'all with the rankings once the episode drops. Yeah. So before we get into that top 10, we're going to go ahead and get into these crossovers.
All right, let's get it. Like I said, we had some interesting responses to our last crossover, but we continue on.
Yes.
First delegate member.
Yes.
Who gets the comparison is Lynn Williams.
This one might be controversial, right?
And so yeah, her WBA counterpart, we said Angel McCautry.
Yes.
And then NBA is Giannis
Antetokounmpo. Because I practice real hard on that name. So
yeah.
Why
is that? Why do we compare them?
I don't know. You hit me with that one.
Well, I think it's the you see the phenomenal potential. It's just like fully putting it together.
Yes.
Yes, Lynn Williams has club championships, but it's the togetherness that needs to happen on the national team,
right?
On that next level. I guess that would be really similar to what you needed to happen with Angel McCautry,
yeah.
With the Atlanta Dream in particular, that next step. With Giannis, it's the same in the NBA. Like,
yes.
Take it to that next level to get it all the way. Because then you could be bomb, bomb, bomb player. Now, people like slander Lynn Williams because the finishing. But she's been asked to be a defensive white winger. White winger on the right side when the right back situation is a disaster behind her. So she's having to play multiple. She's got to be a winger, and then she got to be a midfielder at times, and she got to be the right fullback back there because we can't put Casey Krueger or Ali Krieger back there. I said what I said. But anyway, impacting it. But if she was asked to just be a winger, she would put balls in the net more likely than not. But she just needs to figure out how to finish.
Yeah, I think the finishing will come. I often argue that's an easier fix than most of the other things, right? And she still does everything else really well. Blacko seems to agree. She seems to start in all of the big and important matches. I think her defense is incredibly helpful. I think she's a good playmaker. Is she the best playmaker as a forward? No. And I just think that, again, she can get into those spaces. I think she has a really high soccer IQ and can get into those spaces, even if she's not finishing. I think it's easy to knock somebody when they're able to do that over and over again. There's something to be said for even getting into those positions. So we support Lee Williams here at Shea Butter FC. So yeah, I think that's a fair comparison, but I'm sure we'll hear about it.
Yep. Next.
We're doing it next. Who we got?
The GOAT. If you didn't know, in the women's game is Marta.
Yes, goated. For my money, I think the best overall player. Obviously, we have other people in contention like Mia Hamm, like Birgit Prince, and others. But it's Marta. It's Marta. I've seen Marta almost carry Brazil single-handedly to a World Cup. So
one more time, y'all got to understand that Marta by herself almost got them to the promised land in a team sport. But her comparison for WNBA, you can argue with your mama about this. Nah, you can argue with your stuffed animals. Go argue outside. Talk to yourself outside. But the best WNBA player who didn't actually get to play in the WNBA because she tore her ACL.
Yep.
The best women's basketball player ever still in my book is Cheryl Miller.
Oh, yeah.
Reggie Miller's sister, Cheryl Miller. What made Reggie Miller who he was because of the ruthlessness of his big sister, Cheryl Miller.
Yes.
Like, undefeated, like putting up 100 freaking points when Reggie Miller had 40 points. Like, there's a whole story. Excited. You gotta go watch that. You gotta go watch the whole thing when they were in high school when she balled out like that. She put up 100 points the night he had 40. He had his team, his career high. Like she's the GOAT. So yeah, that's the comparison. Goated.
Yeah. Cheryl Miller is I saw, I guess, a tweet this week. What's an athlete that would have been great if they hadn't been injured, and her name came up quite a bit.
Right.
Or even if there had been a stable WNBA a little earlier, right?
Yes,
before she
yes.
got hurt.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cheryl Miller is one of those we can't, no matter how many stories we tell you, it doesn't convey how good she was and how dominant
right.
she was
right
in that sport.
And then the next for NBA.
Yeah.
Are we saying? Is it?
It could. Okay. So it could be Wilt.
Wilt and Chamberlain, I think the other one, or who else?
The other one for me could be Big O, Oscar Robertson, just because underrated, right? Like great, but underrated, right? And particularly as generations go on, I think we talk about it less and less. I think both of those are really good just because they were so dominant and singularly dominant, and you hadn't right. seen anything like that before. And I feel the same way about Marta. You just haven't actually seen anyone quite like her.
Right.
Yeah. So those are my two. So we'll see. I'm sure we'll hear about it.
Yep.
All the same. Next delegate member is Sophia Smith.
Yep.
Again, tons of potential, right?
Very young,
comes from a very good program in Stanford.
Right.
Continually gets called up to the national team. I think whatever they're seeing in practice looks good and is improving.
And it's been said the same thing in Portland Thorne's training. Like, she's really, really fucking good.
She's the real deal. She's the real deal.
So who's she like for the WNBA?
WNBA, we said Jewel Lloyd.
Yeah.
We said Jewel Lloyd. So, again, don't know if everybody's going to agree with that. And then in the NBA, we went back and forth.
Yeah.
Between Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker.
Yep.
Yeah, both, again, sort of young, can be team leaders, have incredible upside.
Right.
Get to, I think, particularly in Devin Booker's case, play with a vet that can sort of help get them right. situated and learn the game and help them grow the game. And very, like, intense but loving way. So
right.
I'm excited to see her growth, right, and hit that next level like a Donovan or Devin. Yeah.
Because I mean, she very well is in a team where she can very well have a situation and flourish mm-hmm. like Jewel Lloyd has at the Seattle Storm.
Right.
Where you got Stewie, but you got also Sue Bird. You had Alicia Clark. You had all these veterans that were able to support.
Yes.
And so Jewel was able to be great. And actually, right. she is repeatedly said by Sue Bird that her and Stewie are why she didn't retire early.
Right, to be able to play with that kind of talent. And same with Portland, right? You have a Christine Sinclair. You have a Becky Sauerbrunn. You have a Megan Klingenberg. So you have this really good balance of young talent and veteran talent and people who've been there, who've played in every
Crystal
kind
Dunn,
of match. Yeah,
Lindsay
well,
Horan.
Yeah, obviously Crystal Dunn and Lindsay Horan.
It's like stack.
Almost slipped into somebody else, but nope, not anymore. You have a lot of veteran presence there and a combination of young talent that she can play with for a while. They can all, you know, make a good team in Charlie and Weaver and Smith. So yeah, that's sort of where we are with that. Speaking of the person I almost slipped and said, squad members. We'll call them squad members. Tobin Heath.
Tobin Heath. Hill up, homie. We need you.
Interesting. Yeah, we miss you, homie.
So this is going to be up for debate. So from an NBA standpoint, we said Kevin Durant.
KD, yeah.
And then from a WNBA standpoint, we were split. So either Tisha Panichero or Deanna Nolan.
Yeah, we went old school because there isn't a current, like, there's not really a current comparison for Tobin. But for me, like, when I think of Tisha Panichero, right, like, I think of you took ODU to a final, right? Like play for Sacramento, rest in peace. But just sort of the flashiness, right? The ability to see the court differently, really being like a problem solver and almost artistic in how you get the ball from one point to the other. And ridiculous assists and dimes and things like that. Like Tisha Panichero was always fun to watch. So that's what made me think of Tobin.
Also, Deanna Nolan, same thing.
Yeah,
she could dime it. She could shoot it. She was a problem. Super creative. Detroit shot. Man, rest in peace, too.
Rest in peace.
Balling. She was balling with Katie Smith. So she was balling. And then similar to Kevin Durant, like, you know, mad creative, like unguardable. Tobin Heath is like undefendable, honestly, as long as she's healthy.
Yeah, she is.
And phenomenal. Is trying to assist more than score, but then now can score and you can put her all over the field. So like what we don't talk about is the work she had to do on the right side for all these
years
to cover up the right back situation.
Yes.
That, you know, Tobin out here effectively playing wing and midfield and being right back at the same time.
Yep. Yeah. Manchester, she can play United anywhere too.
Manchester
she United can play Davis. Anywhere, and she's just an incredibly unique talent, right? There's not another Tobin Heath in women's football, and I think fellow football and other footballers will tell you, like, she's one of their favorite players. And honestly, if people get out of their feelings, I think they say the same thing about Kevin Durant. So and so, yeah, and just like generationally good talent. So that's sort of where our head was on that. But again, y'all are free to agree or disagree. And then the last of these squad
is
Pino, Megan Rapinoe. Not Rapinoe. I can't believe people still say that.
Say that. Now that's gonna be stuck in my head.
Yeah, Megan Rapinoe, Pino the Glod, as people say.
But her NBA counterpart would be Chris Paul.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's pretty fair.
And surprising to people is not her fiance, who's her WNBA counterpoint. It's her it's her fiance's best friend forever, Diana Taurasi.
Yeah, I think just that right edge, now. Right? Pino is both a leader. Mm-hmm. And a bit arrogant, right? Like, and is good enough and has been able to adapt her game, right? Like, now she's scoring goals all of a sudden. It was scoring goals in the World Cup, but like, that's not been her game. She's very much a pass first, create first type of player, and still is able to do that, is still able to really help younger players. And I think Chris Paul plays with a lot of intensity, and so I think sometimes there's a knock on him, but he's incredible with younger players and bringing them along. And sort of every stop he's been in, he loves the game, right? And I think Pino loves the game of soccer. And so just being able to do that, I think of, you know, him working with Devin Booker and Phoenix, but I also think of, you know, Pino talking to Katarina Mercado before her first game, right? And really just being able to help calm her down and guide her through that. And so, yeah, they have that same energy. And I'm not sure if that's Diana Taurasi's game, but I just think of sort of the cockiness and the ability to adapt.
Right.
And at times be the best in the world is certainly labeled as that, whether you agree with that or not. But being able to be in the spotlight, want it, and to show up in big moments, I think of those players as well.
Right. And so, yeah, so that wraps up the Shea Butter crossover for this week. If you're wondering where Sue Bird will appear, she's coming up. Yeah, there's a player who we will match to her, and actually you'll be surprised when we get to it who Sue Bird then compares back to as a soccer player. But anywho, let's get to this top 10. What's going to be the best list on this globe in terms of ranking the soccer football players of the world in the women's game. And so as Sills alluded to earlier in the intro for this segment, with our top 10 list, we're breaking it down by goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders, strikers, hybrids. We got that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 categories because we want it to be clear, crystal clear, who is the best player in the world, who are the best players in the world by position. We're about to break down our list in no order yet, who our top 10 are. And then we, as each over the next episodes, we're going to drop these players. And then, we'll let you know, because the point of this is if you see people repeatedly appear on different lists, i.e. if they appear as a defender, a midfielder, a striker, you know, and a hybrid,
they might be good.
They might be real good. And so in the actual top 10 list, they very well could be the top five, the fifth person. Or the number one person in the world, Crystal Nunn. But
I feel like people know who our number one is, but that's fine.
But we're gonna break it down so that it's really clear and we don't have any kind of delusions of grandeur. But let's get into it. For this week, we got defenders on the block, and we had like about 20 or something, and then we whittled it down to our top 10 defenders, and it's not in order yet.
No, not in order yet. So we'll rank them later in the week, so y'all can debate with us then. But we're going to give you these 10 names. You want me to read them?
Yeah.
All right. So in no particular order, as of now, top 10 defenders that we have come to a consensus on. Crystal Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
Irene Paredes.
Whoop.
Wendy Renard.
Mm-hmm.
Moppy Leon.
Okay.
Khadijah Buchanan.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca Sabra.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy Bronze.
Mm-hmm.
Magdalena Erickson.
Mm-hmm.
Abby Dahlkemper.
Mm-hmm.
Casey Krueger.
Casey Krueger. You saying Casey Krueger's in the top 10, but not... Okay, let me stop. Let me behave.
Yes, I am absolutely saying Casey Krueger's in the top 10.
Okay.
With my chest.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's a solid list. There's probably a few names that we left off that people were looking to hear.
We can
have a conversation about it.
We can.
To let y'all know, as we do this series, we're going to revisit these lists at the end of the year, because that's only fair. There's a lot of major tournaments coming up, including the Olympics, other international friendlies, and a lot more club play, particularly for NWSL players. So and there's an ICC tournament, and then there's another tournament in Portland. I can't remember which one is which. There's two tournaments stateside in August where international clubs will be playing our NWSL domestic club. So we'll have a lot of chances to see these players in multiple environments. And so the list might change, might have new players come on, you might have players drop. I don't think all of them will, but yeah, so we want to be consistent. And like I said, we want to revisit this at the end of the year, but for now that's who we've got.
All righty then. So I guess that's it for this segment.
Guess we're wrapping it up. So now y'all know that's the first iteration of our top 10 Shea Butter FC All-Star list. When we get back, y'all get ready for our rants and our raves for the week, as well as our hits and riffs, where we hit y'all with a little musical recommendation segment. We'll call it that.
Hey.
Yeah. So this is going to be one of our favorite sections. Obviously, we love music, so we can't wait to share some of our thoughts with you. And we'll be back in just a moment.
I. We about to get into your favorite segments, rants and raves. We're gonna give our hot takes about football and other cultural matters, and then also we're gonna get into our new segment, hits and riffs, to give you some musical vibes for the week. But let's kick it off with the rants and raves. So I'm gonna go first.
All right, go ahead and get that out.
Yeah. So my rave this week, my rant this week, is dedicated to ye people who haven't been driving during this pandemic, who are now going back to work. I'm glad that y'all were behaving and y'all were in-house and abiding by the protocols. But now that y'all people are coming back to work, because as an essential worker myself, I had to work all year. Like, we got to a point, particularly in Southern California, where traffic had went away. Because people were driving the speed limit. People were flying through the streets. It was like normal. Not normal. It was abnormal because there was no traffic. But now y'all are back because you got your vaccines and you're going to school. And we opening up. The outside's open. So my rant is, if you haven't been behind the wheel all year and you new to it, you true to it, you getting back on your feet, it's time to practice this weekend driving. You also need to drive the speed limit or above if the flow of traffic takes you there. And then if you're going to go below the speed limit or you're not comfortable, you got to put it in the right lane. Don't do this foolishness where you're in the left lane going slow. No. Because we're now on the go. And so you need to get with the flow or stay at home or take an Uber or get on the bus. But you can't be messing up traffic just driving slow. And for all that's good in the world, if you don't have to go to work during rush hour, if you don't have to be out in the streets, please stay off the roads if you want a Sunday drive in the middle of the week. Just do it outside of rush hour or just do it on the weekends. But please stop this foolishness if you're not going to work anymore because you're working from home, or you just appear and you just be driving, slow poking around, people trying to get to work. Like, don't be rude. Be better, do better, because it's 2021. You know, we are about to get free and out here outside. So you got to know how to drive. And so that's my rant. You got a rant this week or no?
You know, I had a few things in my spirit, but honestly, I'm so tired of ranting right now because it's going to be about the same three or four things.
Okay, well, so they get y'all
right. Yes, I'm a pass on the rant this week. Well, do you want to do your rave first? You want me to do my rave?
No, you go. You do your rave.
I'll let my rave because I didn't do my rant. So my rave this week, shout out to two players, particularly after the PSG game today, but just in general, I want to give a shout out to Sandy, not Charlie, Baltimore. I know I've called her Charlie Baltimore a few times. Again, you got.
If you don't know who Charlie Baltimore is, you're really young. But go ahead.
Yeah, like you definitely are of a certain age. If you know who Charlie Baltimore is, and they look nothing alike, by the way. So
I not at all
that out there at all. but I just want to give out a shout out to Sandy Baltimore, who since the beginning of their league campaign has really been balling. So when they played Lyon in November, I want to say, in the first tie in the league matchup. She was really one of the standout players. She was playing with the Brits and really, particularly on that left-hand side, was just doing whatever she wanted. And I think she's improved even more, right? Like you didn't hear about Sandy Baltimore a lot coming into, you know, French national team in 2020, 2021. She wasn't really on the radar. And now she is. Now she's a starter, quite frankly. And she's just so damn good on the ball. And can just pretty much dictate play however she wants. She can beat you with speed, yes, but she also reads the field and the pitch incredibly well. She has really good playmaking instincts. And she does get to play a lot, you know, as a false midfielder or up on the wing as well. She can do it all. And she's really come into her own, I think, really made herself known and stand out between league play, Champions League play, and the national team getting that call up. So I just wanted to say, Sandy Baltimore, we see you balling. And I said today on Twitter, if I owned a team, I would probably trade a few family members to get Sandy Baltimore. Wow. Whatever money she wants at this point, I would pay her. I think she's quickly becoming one of the best players in the world. And I just want to give a shout out as well to the CONCACAF homie, Ashley Lawrence, who played the game of her life today, was everywhere, was springing attacks, was defending, had good tackles. Like, again, really just made PSG look like a different team, even more so than they had, you know, as they've built this team. And she's not necessarily the top name on the call sheet, but I just thought she had an incredibly solid game. She was everywhere. And she made that team so much better. And Lyon really didn't have an answer for her the entire game. And so to see her game improve as well, and to see her take that next step while playing in a league with that kind of competition, I just wanted to give her a really big kudos and let her know that we see you, you know, we see your growth, sis, and hope you continue to ball out and keep stepping up to those levels. And even if Canada's our rival, you know, I want good things for them. So yeah, y'all doing the damn thing at PSG. So I just wanted to shout them out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's my time to rave.
Yeah.
So my rave is dedicated to the Nike and WNBA situation. Woo! That is now the new jerseys, the Rebel, the whatever these new jersey situations is, because they are fire. They set me back a smooth few $100. Because look, I'm not even a LA Sparks fan, and I acquired two LA Sparks jerseys because they look that good in person.
I would get an LA Sparks jersey if they, never mind. Go ahead.
Because you got to understand, I was a diehard New York Liberty fan.
Yeah.
Even in the struggle eras where get to the championship and lose to the Comets.
Yeah.
Then I became a Silver Stars fan because VJ and Becky Hammon went to the Silver Stars. And then, so I hated the LA Sparks. So that's even fair. Living in the city, it's hard to even go spark, like, no, it makes me cringe. But I bought two jerseys because they were that fire. I got me an ATL jersey coming through.
Those Atlanta ones are so nice.
Also got a Candace Parker Chicago jersey.
And that's why I don't root for the Sparks anymore. I will be a Sky fan this year.
Yeah. So it's like they're beautiful. It, like, all the jerseys are hidden. I mean, there might have been some questionable, but like, even all the jerseys are fired, they're hidden left and right. It's mad impressive. The details beautiful. The quality's nice. It's not bootleg dry fit. It's legit dry fit Nike situations. And so I'm super impressed. I'm proud of Nike. And I got to rave about it. Like, cause y'all set me back some coin. There's even going to be more coin drop I don't even want to talk about how much I'm about to spend on these jerseys. It's beautiful to see it, not only from a jersey standpoint, but then they got the accessories. They got the track suits. They got the sweatsuits. They got the everything. It's in the stores. You know, people buying them up. People are selling out. Like, they doing the thing.
People were so hyped. I mean, myself included. I tweeted for like a whole day about them. But everybody was just excited. And like you said, even I guess the ones that are a little more meh are still very good. Like, there's no bad jerseys.
Yeah, there's none. Not at all.
And I'm not a big jersey person, particularly outside of soccer, but I will probably get a few of those. I too will probably get that Candace Parker jersey. Full discretion, I'm a tried and true Lady Vol. Rest in peace, Pat. And so, yeah, Candace Parker is one of my favorite players ever. So,
But what I also want to say is I do have an expectation that Nike do the same thing with the NWSL, and probably in the next episode when we talk about fits, like there's so much that you can do. I expect this level of fineness with these NWSL kits in later seasons, i.e. next season. I expect this level of woo with not only the short sleeves, but with the cutoff, but we'll talk about that in the later episode. To move it off these raves, let's get into the new segment, the hits and riffs, where so we musical people, like Sil said, as you heard last episode, when we bring you marching band sounds to your forehead and your ears, we gonna talk about some of our, so we kind of seasoned, we a little older, so we gonna talk about our favorite songs of yesterday and today, and we gonna give you like a turn up suggestion from back in the day and today. Yeah, like that hype music, for those who don't know. And then we're going to give you a Quiet Storm vibe. And Quiet Storm, that's the like the period. That's the evening stuff on the radio. That's the slow jams, the slow whines, the grinds, the things that might have brought you into the world.
Hey.
Little did you know. To the smooth, calm things, like a quiet storm. Thunderstorm. So we're going to give you some suggestions. And then we're going to even make a Shea Butter FC vibe hits and riffs playlist. To get you right.
Yeah. More to come on that.
So let me see. I guess I'll start it off.
Okay.
So for my yesterday turn up, shout out to Kilo Ali. If you don't know, the A-Town Wonder and Greatness, the MC singer, that is Kilo Ali and his song Baby Baby. Baby Baby. Yeah. Look that up and get with that. And then for the yesterday Quiet Storm, it's the Candlelight in You by Shantae Moore featuring Keith Washington. If you don't know about that, please get into it and vibe with it. As in for today's turn up, I like that song called Tipsy by I think is Adunsi featuring Ray. That had me like winding and getting it. Yeah, that's a little turn up. But then from a Quiet Storm perspective of today, it released earlier this year. I love Robert Glasper.
Yes.
And his song Better Than I Imagined featuring her and Michelle Indicello.
Yes.
Did I say it right? Yeah.
Indicello, like, yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. that's a heck of a three. That's a heck of a three people. Yeah.
That's a song, man. I mean, I love her. You need to see her live if you haven't gotten into her. And Michelle be dropping it, and it's just and Robert, so it was just a vibe. It's a woo-wee.
That's a heck of a three, like musically speaking, definitely. Woo. Like I will probably play on that tonight myself.
Right.
Minus the Quiet Storm part. But
yeah. So what you got? Who you got for the people?
So to be Black in America is a time every day, but it's been a particularly raw week. So my turn up songs are pretty much fight songs.
Oh, let's get it in.
This week I felt like fighting a little bit. So my yesterday turn up is going to be the classic Annie Up, because every time I hear that song, I'm going to fight just a little bit or a lot.
Annie Up. On the day.
In fact, it's kind of hard not to want to at least fight when you hear that song. But just to get the rage out, I think music's good for that sometimes too. So for me, that's sort of my go-to when I just need to process some things and get a little bit of rage out. Mm-hmm. And then my yesterday Quiet Storm Slow Jam is actually a breakup song, I guess. It's Yesterday by Shanice, but it's a really great vocal performance, and it's not necessarily a song she's famous for. If you don't know who Shanice is, Google that. Killer voice. Always has had a killer voice, still does. So that's my throwback. And then my today turn up isn't like recent, but again, I was on an angry kick. I love Dreams and Nightmares by Meek Mill. I just be feeling that song. So I play that on repeat a few times. And again, I just need to get some stress out and just a change in tempo and everything else. So it gives you a little bit of everything. And it's a really good lyrical performance. And so that's that. And then today's Quiet Storm, I'm really excited about these guys making an album. So it's going to be Silk Sonic's Leave the Door Open. It's just
Wait, smooth. Who's Silk Sonic?
Silk Sonic is a group that is comprised of Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak.
There we go.
So two very talented men who make really good music on their own. I've loved both of their solo projects and their work with other producers. Bootsy Collins is a part of this as well. If you do not know who Bootsy Collins is, look him up immediately. He is one of the godfathers of funk music.
Right, he might have brought you to the world too.
Right, and Bootsy Collins is responsible for a lot of the music that you listen to today. And he's one of the few left, so go respect that man and look up his work and look up some Parliament Funkadelic while you're at it.
Right.
But yeah, Leave the Door Open for sure is a banger. It's one of those songs that every time I listen to it, I hear something new. And as a musician, really just gets me going. And so I'm really excited for their album to drop, hopefully soon. So we can get more hits like that. But yeah, that's a good baby making song. So
we'll make a list probably this week for the today and yesterday situations, the slow and the go, everything. We gonna get you right. But with that, before we bounce up out of here, we got to make some shout outs because we did some other things and we about to do some other things. So you're not just going to hear this episode. By the time you hear this episode, you should see our episode where we did an NWSL kit review crossover with 2 Cents and Kaya.
Shout out.
2 Cents FC, Kaya McCullough. With Unfiltered Podcast.
Unfiltered with Kaya McCullough. Yes.
We did a phenomenal kit review that's going to make some people feel some kind of way, but then it's going to make you say, hey, you got that right. So look out for that. That should drop. That will have already dropped by the time you hear this. Also, shout out to Can I Kick It Podcast. We will be hopping on there for, I guess, a Women in Soccer Roundtable.
Black women in soccer, because there's always stuff to talk about, right?
So, so that's probably going to be wild. By the
shout
time
out to you, them and Richmond Kickers, you know,
right? Yeah. So that's gonna be a wild up. Also, shout out to the homies for Florida Culture. They've been producing our episode. Yes. They've been putting the music in, blending it, mixing it down, all that stuff. Make sure you check out their podcast. Also, check out the scars they just dropped.
Yes,
855.
Gotta get one.
Get into even their name sets, shirts, everything, wear all that. Like, it's fire. Support the homies.
They do. They do really good work, merch work, you know, support them because they've been supporting us. So
also, we started this thing called Shea Butter SC Fridays, where we give props to players, we show love. We gonna not be on color people's time, CP time. we gonna do this on time because I ain't gotta work this Friday, I don't think.
That's good.
Well, I'm trying to. That's the vision. I got a vision that I'm gonna be off on my off Friday. So we gonna do it right. We gonna shout out the players. We adding players. We got some love from Ali Watt and Nichelle Prince this week.
Yeah,
shouting them out. So if you got suggestions of who you want to get at, we not even just gonna be limited to the United States. We shouting out people globally. If they got a Twitter handle, when we get our life together and we get IG, they got an IG handle. We shouting out everybody. We showing the love.
Absolutely. It's all love. We here to uplift. So. We want to make sure we recognize the people week in and week out, particularly players. Again, you know, it's hard to be a Black player in the women's game. So people who don't necessarily get the shine that they should, we're here to shout you out.
We got you. And so I guess for next week's episode, let's see. We're going to talk more about the NWSL and hopefully no more drama. Hopefully we're not going to have any readings of the libraries. But don't.
Let's hope.
But we got the segment just if we need to, even if it's short, we got you. We're going to talk about the Women's Super League, the semifinals of the the UEFA Women's Champion League.
Yes.
Note that these last two statements are, we hope to be talking about them, but with the news that the European Super League may just blow football into another stratosphere. Yeah.
It's to be determined.
Even if we can't talk about that because games got put on ice, because yeah. people can't potentially participate. They could participate in the Olympics, but maybe not the World Cup. Might put stuff in chaos. Well, then we're going to play GM because, oh, man, we got plans for all that.
Possibilities, yes.
Regardless, next week we're going to continue dropping our other members of maybe the Shea Butter crossover if we need to. Also, look into the top 10 midfielders we got.
Ooh.
In no order.
That's going to be fun.
Then we're also going to introduce the Get Your Fits Right, because since we talked about kids this week, and yes. me and Sylv have been talking about this for a while, we're going to get into what the soccer situation needs to do about, you know, addressing the apparel to meet the culture. Then drop some more of our hits and riffs, and then get you some rants and raves into your body. So we're going to do that thing next week, because we're going to keep going no matter what chaos
is happening. No matter what. Football.
No matter what.
All right.
All right. So that's it, though. So I guess we need to get ready to bounce. So I guess y'all know what y'all need to do. Y'all need to stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
Make sure the Black women in your life are celebrated.
And make sure your Shea Butter bombs are always elevated.
Elevated, baby. Oh, yes. And basically have a great week. And just get ready. Well, whatever football situation's up, we'll see you next week.
We'll be here next week no matter what.
Hey.
All right. Peace out.